please enjoy this previously recorded segment.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, and we're talking with Ken Grunbach. He is the president of KCG Direct in Haddam, Connecticut. Ken, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You know, I saw you speak at an event. It was the Maine Bankers Association annual meeting, and you did a great job. I just want to start off the segment going with setting expectation as high as possible for you.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you talk a lot about is the power of demographics, of shifting demography. Tell me a little bit about why somebody should care about demography.
Well, I refer to it as the power of people. Contrary to what people think, economics seems to be the driver of the day, but demographics precipitates economics. We had people before we had money. So understanding generations, populations, shifts in the volume of generations as they age is very important in forecasting all kinds of disciplines, including politics and markets, economics, culture. It is the driver. We say demography is destiny.
When you're talking about people, and we're talking certainly in terms of organizations looking to the future, because that's what they do, not only for hiring, not only for predictability in terms of what they're going to do in products. Demographics plays a huge role in this, and as I said, I saw you your performance, and you talked a lot about the different shifts in the Gen Y, Gen X generation. So let's start there, if we can. Let's talk about the demographic shifting of the generation, especially with Gen Y now coming into the picture, and certainly the baby boomers, you know, are getting ready to go into the sunset.
Well, let's reverse that. Let's go into the baby boomers first. Baby boomers were born 1945 to 1964, a nice 20-year generation. Following the baby boomer generation, which was a very big generation, about 80 million people, we had a small generation called Generation X, born 1965 to 1984. Generation X was a little under 70 million. It's about 11% free fall from the size of the baby boomers, and that 11% has caused a lot of problems over the years, especially in the market economy. Now, 1985 to 2004, we have Generation Y. Now, Generation Y is the single biggest generation in our nation's history. It's about 83 million. They're currently 8 years old to 27 years old, and we haven't really felt their impact in our on our economy yet, because they haven't become wage earners on a large scale. And there's a lot of reasons for that, not the least of which is the fact that the boomers have not been able to retire at the other end of the labor spectrum. But once the boomers do retire, labor is going to suck in Generation Y like a vacuum. And you're going to see a lot of things changing in the workplace, a lot of things.
Give us some examples, if you could, in terms of what you think is some of the trends you're seeing and what is going to be the big effect.
One of the things we tell people is if you want to hire Generation Y, Generation Y is probably the most cyber-savvy generation in the history of our nation. I tell folks all the time, I say, listen, if you're not up to speed in the cyber world with your business and you start hiring Generation Y, you're going to have a problem, because if they detect that you have an old system that they can easily hack, they'll hack it and give themselves raises. So you have to be careful. Now, that's kind of a joke. One of the things that we know about Generation Y is they don't see race or color. They're probably a kinder generation than any other generation that we've seen in the workplace. And I tell employers this, too. I say, listen, if you're not completely transparent, and if you don't have some kind of a green direction for your company, Generation Y is going to kind of hold you in disfavor. And if there's any kind of mean-spiritedness in your business, Generation Y is not going to work for mean people. They're just not going to do it. So, but that being said, Generation Y right now is facing 50% unemployment, so perhaps a lot of their standards will be relaxed until things balance out.
You talk a lot about this being HR's worst nightmare, the new labor force. Is this part of what you're referring to, the big changes in which employers now need to look at themselves, not only in terms of the old role, the work role, but now the social role, the social media role, the cultural role? Is that the whole big piece of it?
It's a huge piece of it, and the reason is you're going to have, right now, most employers, unless you're fast foods or agriculture, don't have many Gen Y employees, so they haven't really felt the impact. But as soon as, well, the baby boomers have begun to retire, and they will retire, literally, it's like a dam breaking, because for the last 5 years, boomer retirement has been held hostage by the housing crisis. Now that houses are selling again and values of homes are going back up, boomers are going to recoup their equity and retire. This is going to suck in Generation Y. And what this is, if you can imagine just looking at the workplace, you're going to have boomers who are not ready to retire, you're going to have Generation Xers, and you're going to have Generation Y kids coming in force. As the boomers retire, they generally retire from the higher level positions, the management positions, because of their age. There aren't enough Gen Xers to fill the positions. They just don't have the critical mass. So you're going to have young people getting into management positions. So if you can imagine a young, tattooed, pierced person managing boomers and Generation Xers in the workplace, and you don't think that's a nightmare for HR, I don't know what is.
No, you're absolutely correct. It's a complete paradigm shift from what they feel is important. You know, one of the things we talk about is, you know, the fit of an organization. That fit's going to possibly change.
Yeah, it will dramatically change. You know, you talked about companies planning. Human resources, and I don't know why human resources up until, you know, 10 years ago was called personnel. And finally, somebody's figured out that humans are probably our most precious resource, and we need to plan for their training, their growth, and all the things related to it as it relates to our business. Maybe even like 2, 3, 5, 7 years out. Wouldn't that be a novelty? But most companies, and this is a total irony. I don't understand why companies do this, David. They go from quarterly report to quarterly report. That's 3 months. You can't be a visionary thinking 3 months out, especially with human resources.
No, you can't. I mean, one of the things you said is absolutely true is the fact that, you know, people are the most important resource. You know, machines and things will crank out stuff, but you still got to sell it. You still got to go out there and talk to people. You still got to make sure that things are running correctly. And they are a critical part of what a company is. A company is just not a bunch of machines sitting there. It's about the people and the culture that gets developed.
Right, yeah, and it's not about telephones either. I mean, take a look at what just happened at Yahoo. But didn't that set the world on its ear and reverse a trend? But that's having people actually come to work and interface with other people and benefit from the synergy of face-to-face interactions. If I were King, I'd absolutely positively force my company to bring human resources into the C-level.
No, I think it's absolutely critical. You know, one of the things you're talking about, this human interaction, it's going to change a little in the new world. You're seeing a lot more people working from home, and certainly Gen Y is almost demanding it in some cases.
Yeah, but Gen Y is not going to be able to demand very much, David, because it's simply a case of supply and demand. Gen Y, as I stated earlier, is 8 years old to 27 years old, which means that the average age we get married in the United States is 26 for women, 27 for men, which means that Gen Y is just now starting to get married. When they have their own responsibilities and the financial umbilical from their parents is cut, they're going to do whatever it takes to maintain their jobs. So the idea that they can demand the option of staying home and working from home, I don't think that's going to be a reality.
Do you think that Generation X, the smaller generation, is going to have more, I guess the word would be more pull, because there's less of them. And because there's less of them, they may come at a higher premium.
You nailed that one. You know what it's going to be? It is absolutely going to be the age of the recruiter. The next 15 years will be the age of the recruiter. And the recruiter is going to spend his or her time finding Gen X best and brightest managers for corporations. And there's another interesting twist to this, and that is, even though Gen X is a small indigenous population, that is a population that was born here between 1965 and 1984, people that are currently 28 to 47 years old, but because there were so few of them, that's most of the immigrants that were pulled into the country to take the jobs that Gen X could not fill are the same age, which means we have a lot of Latinos in the Gen X age range. And I think you're going to, that will be a whole new factor in terms of HR and management.
No, I think you're right. We're certainly seeing greater numbers of Latinos that are working in the workplace. And certainly that sometimes poses a challenge from a cultural perspective as well as a language perspective.
You know, it does and it doesn't. One of the things that demographers have discovered is that the Latinos in the United States are assimilating in record time. They really assimilate in a single generation, and that's 20 years. You have immigrants coming into the country from Latin countries, specifically Mexico, and their kids don't even speak Spanish. And their kids consider themselves, I mean, and rightfully so, Americans. So, and another irony, too, is Puerto Ricans. Now, some people think of Puerto Ricans as immigrants. They're not. They're nationalized citizens when they're born. So the influence is going to be dramatic and very, very positive. Latinos, I don't think we could design a better immigrant. I really don't.
No, that's great to hear. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
Are you frustrated with medical care today? Does it make you angry that your doctor spends more time looking at the computer screen than at you? Does it seem like your doctor is out the door in 5 minutes? There is a better alternative. At Champy Family Practice, Dr. Michael Champy and his dedicated staff make taking care of patients their priority. They are a cash-friendly direct pay practice, which is the perfect option for people with no insurance, high deductibles, and health savings accounts. Unlike other practices, they post their prices in the office and even online. Get modern medical care delivered the old-fashioned way. For more information, call ChampyFamilyPractice.com. That's C-I-A-M-P-I. Or call 774-1222. Champy Family Practice is located at 380 Lincoln Street in South Portland. Champy Family Practice, continuing a tradition of medical excellence in Greater Portland since 1959.
More people are discovering that Life Juice is the secret to starting a successful weight loss plan. Because when you cleanse with Life Juice, you're removing unhealthy toxins from your body while dramatically cutting calories out of your life. Now, all natural Life Juice can be your easy start to finally losing weight. Visit GetLifeJuice.com to make Life Juice your secret to dropping unwanted pounds. Feel lighter, look slimmer, and cleanse your body faster than you thought possible. Don't wait another day. Log on to GetLifeJuice.com. That's GetLifeJuice.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're talking with Ken. Ken, how are you?
Very well, sir.
Great. You know, Ken is a demographer, and I got to tell you, he has done a great job of trying to explain the unexplainable. That's the way I look at it sometimes. How's that? Is that a good code? Maybe you should use that.
Yeah. Well, I talk about, you know, charting the course through changing demography. So few people even know, you know, I have to explain what a demographer is. That's one of my jokes.
No.
My daughter was asked one day, what is your dad doing? She said, he's a demographer. And her friend looked at her like she had two heads. And her friend said, is that like an accountant or economist? And my daughter thought for a moment, and she said, no, accountants and economists count money and stuff. My dad counts people, and people are more important than money and stuff.
Oh,
so that's what it is.
That, you know what? I think I heard that. I think I heard that joke you used. No, but you're right. And this is Ken Gronbach, and he's the president of KGC Direct out of Haddam, Connecticut. You know, Ken, we talked a little bit about the difference in terms of race changes that are happening in the world in terms of the demography. Talk to me a little about women. You know, one of the things I heard you say and certainly would agree with is about the glass ceiling that has been out there. Tell me what your take on that is.
Well, there's some mystery surrounding this, but women are outpopulating men in college 60-40, and that's huge. That is absolutely huge. 60-40 split is a big, big split. Now, as my daughter explains it, she's in college right now, it's hard to find a guy. But what that means going forward is that women are going to find themselves with the glass ceiling shattered, especially with Generation Y that does not have any biases towards, you know, race, religion, or sex. Women are going to find themselves coursing through the system and into higher management positions more than ever before, and I think it's a good thing.
No, I think
I just don't know. The mystery. You know what the mystery is? And I have asked the State Department demographer to explain this to me. If women outnumber men in college 60-40, where are the men? And you know, really, no one has an answer for that right now.
That's an interesting stat. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think what happened is baby boomers are retiring, and a lot of the boomers that were able to retire are people that were small business people in business for themselves, who managed to, you know, amass a little bit more money than those that were working for somebody else, and they were plumbers, carpenters, electricians, heating, ventilation, air conditioning people. Landscapers, and I think a lot of Generation Y men went into business for themselves in small business and skipped college.
I think you're probably right. It's certainly, you know, you're seeing a lot of, there is a little backlash that we're seeing in terms of education, that the statement you don't need to necessarily go to college, though the stats would say that you'd be paid more if you do. Mm-hmm. The fact is that a lot of people are looking at trades or other type of work rather than going to college.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? If you think about what an electrician can make today, or what a plumber can make, there's a lot of opportunity out there without the necessity of a degree. A ton.
Well, you talk about that, the impending education revolt. Can you give a little bit more to that?
That's almost a separate issue,
but
without indicting anybody, We calculated, my wife and I calculated it, that we pay $1,000 a week for my daughter to go to college. $1,000 a week. And we're in contact with her all the time. So I'm always on her about her grades, and I'm saying, you know, can I help you? Can we get you tutors? It's, you know, because it's, this is way, way too much money. I mean, way too much money. So I'm sensitive to it. What we're seeing now is there is a trend towards, you know, getting your degree online. It used to be like in the mail, but now it's online, and there's a major trend in that direction. And now you're seeing economists with PhDs getting, you know, finishing their final year for 10 grand because they did it online. And so what I think is in the works now, Dave, is one, the issue of relevant study, and two, the issue of cost. And I think we're in for a collision. So there's going to be a revolution, but I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be violent, but I think what's going to happen is a lot of the big schools are suddenly going to discover that they have a tiny freshman class.
Well, it's certainly going to be a big issue in terms of even when you're thinking of hiring people. You know, there is a stigma that has been out there, and you're certainly seeing less of it now, that an online school is not as good as a regular school. And, you know, we've heard it from employers that have said, oh, I don't know if that's really a good school. But the fact is that if you're going to some of these major universities, they're already doing online classes already.
I think, Dave, that stigma, if it's still present, is disappearing. It's just, if you can get the same skills online and you can demonstrate it, which is key, who cares?
No, I agree with you 100% of the time. I mean, I think it's interesting that you're going to have, you know, a number of students that will do very well with online courses, and then some who may need that interaction with a teacher, which you can get by Skype, kind of. It's different, right? It's a different feel. We do a lot of interviewing online versus sometimes in person because of, you know, obviously over distance and amount of cost. And there is a different feel when you're watching it through, you know, something online versus actually being in person with them.
That's correct. Yeah. Now, how about that? And is there an additional value to that social connection as well? So I don't know. We are certainly in interesting times.
One of the other things you talked about, and I think it's relevant only because we now have 17 states that have passed medical marijuana laws. We have one state that has passed an all-out, you can smoke anywhere, and you have a number of states that are trying to do this. You talked a little bit about that and about the legalization of it that's going to be happening. So talk a little bit about your take on this.
Well, I don't think medical marijuana has proven effectiveness, I mean, in terms of a painkiller. But I don't think that's the issue. I think what the issue is that it will be taxed like no other product in the history of our country. I think you literally will, when it finally is legal to just go into a convenience store and buy a pack of marijuana cigarettes, they'll probably sell for about $60, and $50 of that will be taxed. So that's why you have legislators salivating in all across the nation, saying, whoa, this is... When you do the math on the potential sales of marijuana, it's a bigger crop than wheat. So just think if we were taxing bread. So going forward, I think you're going to see marijuana be legal across the board. The bummer is it's not a good thing for the workplace. It's just not a good thing. It's not a good thing, period.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge we're seeing in a state that certainly has, and a number of the states that certainly listen to our show, you know, the safety-sensitive positions, the positions in which you're hiring somebody and, you know, and they're arriving under the influence. It really does create a challenge for HR professionals, business leaders, owners as to what to do, especially when it suddenly become legal. And, you know, there's some humor to... I heard somebody say the other day, and I apologize, I don't remember right who it was, but they are outlawing smoking everywhere, but they're trying to get you so that you can smoke marijuana cigarettes. It kind of is an oxymoron when you think about it.
Right. Isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, to try to make that work.
Yeah, I do not think it's a good idea. I think it's a springboard for additional drugs. So I'd watch it carefully.
No, absolutely correct. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Maine DOT has a special announcement for northbound drivers who routinely take I-295's Exit 15 in Yarmouth. Stop taking Exit 15. I repeat, stop taking Exit 15. It's not your exit anymore. It was your exit once, but not now. Forget about northbound Exit 15. Exit 15 is not for you. Actually, Maine DOT is adding a brand new on-ramp there, and to do that safely and quickly, closing Exit 15 is required starting March 12th. So if you're driving northbound on Interstate 295 and headed for Route 1 in Yarmouth, take Exit 10 in Falmouth or Exit 17. Temporary traffic signals will make taking those alternate exits safe and convenient. You can take Exit 15 southbound, but just forget all about Exit 15 northbound, at least until June. Sometime in June, you can take Exit 15 then. Take it all you want. Exit 15 will be yours once again. A message from Maine DOT. There's better road ahead. Drive safely.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org.
I'm in a state of caffeination. Got all my fingers shaking. Must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You have to plan for your family's future, but where can you turn for affordable legal protection you can trust? LegalZoom.com. You'll find wills and trusts to make sure your family is protected. Or if you're starting a business, you can form an LLC, incorporate, and more. You can even have an attorney review your document through their legal plans available in most states. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but you can use it to find an attorney and get self-help services at your specific direction. For more savings, enter Brilliant in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
And we're here at the HR Power Hour, and we're talking with Ken Gronbach. He is the president of KGC Direct, and he is in Haddam, Connecticut, and he is a demographer. Ken, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, my friend.
Okay, you know, we have been talking about for the last half hour some interesting numbers and stats having to do with the generations and the differences and some of the challenges coming in terms of the workforce, and you've given me great hope in terms of recruiting with my organization. So let's talk a little bit about the global effects of the numbers and the demography and what's going on globally.
Well, what's the big story? The big story, of course, globally, especially in demography, is China. I mean, economically, China's juggernaut has double-digit increases in their GDP. People are saying that they will eclipse the United States economy in the next 10 years, and they're going to be influencing worldwide public policy, and aren't they great? Demographically, China has not shot itself in the foot. It's blown its foot off with their one-child-only policy. If you take a look at the one child only policy that was instituted 33 years ago, almost 34 years ago now, they have what they call prevented over 400 million live births. That means there are fewer, 400 million fewer babies in the last 33 years than they would have anticipated if they didn't institute the one-child-only policy. Great story. I mean, they've reduced their carbon footprint. They're going to produce, you know, each individual of those 400 million is going to pollute less. It's really a good story. However, what about the labor force? Because they have reduced their fertility by almost 75%, which means they have no future labor force. They don't have enough to run things. They won't have enough taxpayers. They won't have enough consumers. And how long will it be before the huge part of the population in China will be elderly, and it'll be 500 million? And who's going to feed them? And guess what? They won't be able to. This is the biggest economic and demographic blunder in the history of the world, and there isn't a demographer on the planet that isn't scratching his head saying, what were they thinking?
Do you think that poses a challenge for the rest of the world in terms of, and also, how does that affect the United States itself?
Well, first thing that's going to happen, and it's already happening, is that what's the big attraction to manufacturing in China is cheap labor. I mean, I hate to think about it. I mean, I buy stuff at Walmart. I don't know how they produce it. I mean, I can't imagine. I bought a floor jack for $40. It weighed 60 pounds. It was made of steel. And I said to myself, who gave their life for this? It's mysterious to me. But what will happen is, as they discover that they've eliminated their labor, future labor, their labor costs are going to go through the roof. Energy is not getting any cheaper. And so their whole competitive edge is gone. So what will happen, and it's happening already, Dave, we're seeing this across the board. Manufacturing is coming back to the States. Not only do we have a future labor force, but we're stable. They're going to be very unstable.
Yes.
So long term, what's going to happen? What's the big story in immigration? The big story in immigration is the number of Latinos coming into the country is subsiding. And who is the new big group? Asians. Specifically from where? China. Coming where? Here. Why? Because if you want to raise a family and enjoy the fruits of your labor, where do you want to go? They're coming here. So big changes ahead for us. Demographically, manufacturing, our economy is reversing as we speak, and I don't think we're going to look back in our lifetime.
Do you think that this, A, bodes well for the fact that the U.S. continues to see these large numbers? And, you know, you're saying the population is going to explode. You also have this explosion of immigrants. Is there a challenge to that to the U.S.?
If you're talking about the basic challenge of overpopulation, which has freaked people out for the last 40 years, it's really, and I don't mean to just dismiss it. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of places to live. The Earth is a big place. If you fly across the country, look down after you get past the Mississippi. We're fine. We really are. And I'm talking about not just the prosperity of the United States, but the prosperity of the two American continents. And I think you're going to see Canada, United States, Mexico, Central and South America prosper like we never have before. We're surrounded by water. We're very difficult to invade. I think the economy of the Americas is going to see a huge amount of diversity. I think it'll be very controllable. I think it'll be very civil, contrasted by what's going to happen in the EU, Eastern Europe, Sub-Sahara Africa, Middle East, and Asia, because those places are all demographically challenged.
Do you think that from the standpoint of a workforce, because you're seeing more Asians come into the market, for example, in this particular case, do you think that is going to, again, cause some cultural shifts, some demographic shifts in the U.S. workforce?
Yeah. Well, the easiest way to say it, the Asians are coming in under different terms. The Latinos came in to work, to take jobs. The Asians are coming in. It's mandatory for them to be high net worth or reasonably high net worth and to create jobs, or they can't come in. But did that stop them? No, because if you look at the 2010, we had 380,000 Latinos that came to the United States in 2010. We had 430,000 Asians that came to the United States legally in 2010. So they're coming, they're bringing money, and they're creating jobs. The only concern that I have would be evidenced in Vancouver, Canada, where you have a huge number of Asians. They take over. It becomes another Hong Kong. And I think if you drive around Texas, Florida, some places in the Northeast, you're beginning to see the influence of the Asians as they come in and open businesses, because you can literally be driving down the street and see nothing but Chinese signs.
Do you think, in terms of the overall European market, and again, commerce is now, especially with the internet and everything, become a lot more global, right? So you have a global workforce, you have a global, technologically advanced workforce, you have, this intercontinental, sales that are going on. Talk to me a little about where you see all that going.
Well, let's talk about the EU. Portugal, Spain, France, across the EU. I don't know why, but they stopped having children voluntarily at replacement level fertility 30 years ago. I mean, unlike China that has a state mandated policy, the European Union has voluntarily reduced their fertility. The lowest fertility in the EU is found in Italy, Catholics, right under the Pope's nose. I mean, I tried to call the Pope and ask him what's going on, but it mystifies me that they've stopped having children. And as a result of that, they don't have enough labor. So where did their immigrants come from? The immigrants for the EU poured in off of North Africa, and they're Muslims. So now we have Western culture and Muslims coexisting in the same geography. The problem is, they don't mix. They're oil and water. Half the kids on the street in France, kids, are Muslims. So what does that mean? That means once Muslims reach a critical mass in the EU, no matter what country it is, but let's take France. Once they reach like 10%, because the country is a republic, they can start influencing public policy. And public policy, according to Muslims, is very different than public policy according to Western folks. So I think you're going to see a huge bailing out of the European Union. And where do you think they're going to go? The Western people. They're going to come here. They're going to come to the Americas. It's just a natural thing. Eastern Europe is in deep trouble demographically. Not only are they not having kids, but the average age that men die in, like, Russia is 58 years old. That's prime of life in the Western world. I don't know what's going on there, but you're seeing a lot of Eastern Europeans coming to the States as well. If you're smart, you have a wherewithal, and you can figure it out, you're going to bail out of the rest of the world, and you're going to come here.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov.
Are you frustrated with medical care today? Does it make you angry that your doctor spends more time looking at the computer screen than at you?
Does it seem like your doctor is out the door in 5 minutes? There is a better alternative. At Champy Family Practice, Dr. Michael Champy and his dedicated staff make taking care of patients their priority. They are a cash-friendly direct pay practice, which is the perfect option for people with no insurance, high deductibles, and health savings accounts. Unlike other practices, they post their prices in the office and even online. Get modern medical care delivered the old-fashioned way. For more information, call ChampyFamilyPractice.com. That's C-I-A-M-P-I. Or call 774-1222. Champy Family Practice is located at 380 Lincoln Street in South Portland. Champy Family Practice, continuing a tradition of medical excellence in Greater Portland since 1959.
Established in 2009, CrossFit Cascabay is Portland's most experienced strength training facility. CrossFit is the principal strength and conditioning program for many police academies, elite special forces, champion martial artists, housewives, children, and everything in between. At CrossFit Cascabay, you'll be able to reduce stress, manage weight and body composition, enhance physical strength and endurance, improve flexibility, and recover from injury or illness in a safe environment. The time is now. Stop in for a free demo. For more information, please visit CrossFitCascoBay.com. CrossFit Casco Bay, forging elite fitness.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Ken Broadback. And Ken, how are you doing? You've done a great...
Really good.
But you've done very well so far, by the way. You're a natural at this.
Hey, it's fun.
It absolutely is. And, you know, one of the things we talked about in the last few weeks is the healthcare crisis that has happened across the country. And certainly we have the Obamacare coming into effect within the next year or so. You've got a lot of people who really don't know what's going to happen in terms of health care. And I know that's an area you've talked about from a demographic standpoint. So tell me your take on this.
Well, it's a demographic issue. When you have, let's talk about the insurance, the health insurance model, because the health insurance model has been dramatically affected by shifting demography, and not in a positive way. I can recall back in the late 90s, I had the opportunity to counsel a major insurance company, and they were about to purchase another healthcare insurance company for $8 billion, with a B. And they brought me in. They said, demographically, is this a good idea or a bad idea? And I said, don't do it. You have rocks in your head. I said, because what's happened, the insurance model, you have to make a profit. And if you have... If you have a workforce between 20 and 60, and the bigger part of the workforce is 40 to 60 that will pay into health insurance and then use more than they're paying for, you have a problem. When the baby boomers were young, 20 to 40, 20 years ago plus, they were paying into health insurance and not using it because they were young and healthy, and the generation right in front of them that was 40 to 60, called the silent generation, was the smallest generation of the last 100 years, which means that you had roughly 50 million people paying into the health insurance and not using it, while 30 million were paying into health insurance and using more than they were paying for it. But it balanced out, and the insurance companies were able to make a profit. But they can't now because the baby boomers are at the age where they're paying in and using more than they're paying for. But there is a bright spot, and that's called Generation Y. Now, Generation Y has not entered the labor force yet, but the Generation Y is actually bigger than the baby boomers. They're about 83 million people. And when they enter the labor force and start buying insurance because they're going to be marrying and setting up households and taking responsibility, they're a huge generation that will pay into health insurance and not use it because they're young. And then the generation in front of them is small. So the problem would have self-corrected without Obama's help. But for right now, I guess they needed to do something. So we're owners of Obamacare.
Do you think that how many years do you think it will take till the number of Gen Y will balance that out?
You know, that's a real good question, and it's a fair question. I would say it's going to be 7 to 10 years before it balances out. But by that time, you know, essentially we're going to have socialized medicine. So, you know, and it would work till further notice if we could wait that long, if we could put a Band-Aid on this, our system right now, then the problem will self-correct in under 10 years, and then we'd never have to look back.
Do you think that one of the challenges to what you do, demography, and look, I will admit that had I not heard you speak, I'm not sure I would have even had a discussion about demography.
Sure.
But when you really listen to it and you really hear the numbers and you look at the demographics, you go, wow, there is a science to this and it does make sense. What are some of the challenges you face to get this information out to people or get this information to decision makers?
The term demography sounds boring. You nailed it. It sounds boring. It doesn't sound like a fun subject like, you know, marketing or psychographics or, motivational speaking. I get up in front of people and I say, how many people here are really excited about listening to a demographer for the next hour and a half? And two or three hands go up. and I said, and you are lying. But then when I'm through with the folks and explain to them the power, I mean, that they will leave the room with because they understand the simple math that drives this, and they can understand positioning themselves in front of big markets and avoiding small markets, it's incredibly, incredibly helpful. Can I give you a quick example?
Oh, please do, yes.
I get a call from a guy from a hedge fund guy, a money manager from Scotland. He said, Ken, I read your book. He says, can you pick stock? And I said, no, I can't, but I can pick sectors, you know, big picture sectors. And he said, I can pick stock. Let's do a hedge fund. So we put together, and I know nothing about, I'm not pretending I understand hedge funds, but I knew basically what he was talking about. So we got the shell of a hedge fund to put it together in Canada. And in Canada, what you do is you put the hedge fund together, and then you invest imaginary money, and the regulators watch your hedge fund. And if they think you're legit, like in a year or so, they let you take money in. Well, in 1 year, this fellow and I, and this was 09 and into 2010, the return for the imaginary $1 million that we invested returned 150%. I mean, that's how powerful this is. The regulators looked at it and said we were inside traders and shut us down.
That's not good.
No, but it was just because we had good information.
Right. Right.
And it's demographic information.
When a company or an HR professional or a business leader or a company is really looking to get more information about this, how would they get a hold of you? How would they, you know, you do a lot of speaking. Where can they find out about what you're talking about and how this whole thing works?
Well, KGCDirect.com, my website, has a ton of information. And on KGCDirect.com, you can also go to my blog, which has probably enough copy for four books. I also have two books. One is called The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. And the other is Decades of Differences, Making It Work. It's about the future labor force. And those are available on Amazon. The best way for people to engage me, call me. I answer the phone myself. And it's 860-345-4604.
Perfect. And also they can go to the HR Power Hour website, and we will make sure that we put your contact information directly on there that they can go to after the show. Ken, how long have you been doing demography?
Well, I had the epiphany, if you will, in 1996. So I guess that's about 17 years. I mean, it overpowered me. Once I understood it, it's like it's all I wanted to do. Because once you recognize the power of shifting demography, it influences so many things. Everything from politics to culture, everything. Finance, markets, it's a good business.
No, it really is. And did you study this in school, or how did you come about it?
No, I was actually a communications major at college. I went to a blue-collar university, only have a BA degree, Cal State in Long Beach, California. And those are my credentials. But oddly enough, you know, I have friends now, a political economist in the State Department, and we talk all the time. And he says, you have a unique perspective on demography because of your marketing background. He said, we don't have that here in the State Department.
Well, that's something they should. You would hope would, right? You would certainly hope that they would. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
No, it certainly is. Well, I think it's a unique twist, and I think that's what, you know, hopefully the listeners got from today, is that they really look at it a different way, and that the fact that people are our biggest asset and people are our biggest area, and certainly when we're looking and thinking about what it is that we're trying to do on a day-in, day-out basis to run our businesses, to run our organizations, to run our, you know, day-to-day hiring practices, you know, they look at what it is that's going to help really improve their business and, you know, getting a different perspective is important.
It's imperative. If you don't understand demography and how it shifts, you can't possibly understand your markets, and you can't possibly understand, you know, what the future will be. And isn't that the key? I tell folks, I said, understand demography, especially here in the United States, and you will realize why the best days are ahead of us, not behind us.
No, that's great. And Ken, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. You've done a great job of really outlining this demography. And, you know, certainly, again, people can go to the HR Power Hour website right after the show and get your information and give you a call. And I want to thank you for being on there. And hopefully I'll see you soon at another event.
Thank you very much, and take care.
Thanks. A quick notice to our listening audience, CMAcareer.com is now offering Career Workspace for Individuals. It is a special version of the corporate Career Workspace online career portal that is now available to individual job seekers. Are you struggling with your job search, frustrated with having to go to multiple sites to search for job listings, or tired of looking at page after page of search results to research a company? Go to cmacareer.com, go to Career Workspace, click on the individual tab, and get more information. And now your HR tip of the week. How to build powerful connections from your social contacts. First, you need to make sure that you get clear on your goals. It's not everyone that has to be part of your social network to be a great contact. Make sure you clarify why it is that you've put them on your LinkedIn profile or that you're connected to them, because you are judged by the people you keep. Gather your contacts together. Go through them and make sure that these are the ones that you really want to use as a powerful networking tool. What's their value to you? Look at their network and the people and company they keep. Look at the companies that are on their liked page. See if any of them match the profiles of who you'd like to work for. These are a way to make sure that you really take the time to work on your social network and how it can effectively build your overall networking process. And that's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have a great guest back. Her name is Cy Wakeman. She's a dynamic national keynote speaker, business consultant, author, and trainer. She's going to be talking about her new book, The Reality-Based Rules of the Workplace. Know what boosts your value, kills your chances, and will make you happier. We're excited to have her back on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.
Happy Memorial Day, everyone. Remember to thank a vet.